support for OPB comes from our members and from our sponsors, like Mike Rosenberg from Columbia Credit Union. Mike says they trust what they see and hear on OPB, and that aligns with Columbia Credit Union's brand.
This is Think Out Loud on OPB. I'm Dave Miller. Wildfires are getting more destructive, with blazes burning more intensely and lasting longer and burning up more acreage. But the workforce needed to combat these megafires is not keeping up. In fact, wildland firefighters are quitting or retiring, and it's getting harder for the U.S. Forest Service to replace them. The freelance reporter and writer Abe Streep recently completed a two-year-long investigation for ProPublica, and he joins us now to talk about what he found. Welcome back. I should say, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you give us a sense for how steep the decline in wildland firefighters has been in recent years?
Yeah, so in the past 3 years, according to the Forest Service, which is the agency that directs most of the country's efforts to manage and fight wildfires, it has had an attrition rate of 45% among its permanent employees, among its permanent wildland firefighters.
It's a shocking figure, 45%.
Yeah, and it's wildland firefighters have, and union officials and advocates refer to it as an exodus.
Who has been most likely to leave in recent years?
Well, I don't know that there's like a simple answer to that, but the many people in the agencies that manage wildfire are particularly concerned about the departure of people who have built up a lot of experience and expertise and training over many years. So we're losing people who really know how to do this.
Hmm. As I mentioned briefly at the beginning, the need for firefighters is increasing as their numbers are decreasing. Can you just put that in perspective for us? I mean, how much of an increase in demand is there for people with these specialized skills?
Well, you know, I think fire season is increasing in duration, in like the time of the season. For a long time, the Forest Service and the agencies within the Department of Interior that employ wildland firefighters have relied on seasonal employees. There is a move toward shifting toward more year-round employment because of the duration of wildfires. We're also seeing, obviously, fires of increased intensity.
What did you hear from Forest Service, the biggest employer, or BLM leaders about this? As you said, you heard that the phrase being used is an exodus. I mean, how worried are they?
Yeah, I mean, I asked Grant Beebe, who directs, he's a former smoke jumper who directs the fire program for the Bureau of Land Management, if it in fact had been an exodus, and he kind of hesitated at first, but then he said, yeah, he said, yeah. The Forest Service was a little more cautious in their language about it.
But I guess I'm just wondering how the level of alarm that you heard when you talked to various leaders.
This is a serious issue. This is, I think that there's no way to spin that.
Hmm. In a lot of other industries or arenas, like manufacturing or logging or some agricultural work, mechanization has changed the labor picture over decades. It has eliminated many jobs for good and for ill in terms of productivity. That's a good ill if it's one of your jobs that was eliminated. But is that the case for wildland firefighting? I mean, is there a potential technological fix?
I think that the short answer is no, that the work is done by people who use chainsaws and hand tools, and they have to be near fire to work on fire. You know, bulldozers are used, engines and helicopters and aircraft that use suppressants to, you know, drop chemical retardants on fires. But the work is done by human beings.
So let's turn.
I wanted to just, sorry.
Yeah, please.
You had asked like, about the severity of the situation. Abel Martinez, who is a Forest Service engine captain in California and who is an official with the union that represents federal wildland firefighters, he's the national fire chair for the union. You know, the ship is sinking is a quote that he said.
Let's turn then for the reasons. Let's turn to the reasons for this exodus, starting with pay. How much can wildland firefighters expect to make?
So the pay begins at $15 an hour. That is a raise that was implemented in 2021. Before that, it was $13 an hour, and then they can accumulate supplemental pay for overtime and for hazard pay, which is when you're in a dangerous situation. You know, there is concern that the emphasis on hazard pay creates an incentive for, you know, you're incentivized to take risk. And the emphasis on overtime, the pay structure is one that sort of, as one wildland firefighter in the reporting put it to me, to be able to provide for our families, we have to basically detach from our families.
Yeah, that quote really stood out to me. I mean, he said it's a catch-22, that it's, as you just said, if we are going to provide for our families, we have to detach from them. What exactly was he referring to? I mean, what are the choices that these wildland firefighters are in a sense, forced to make financially?
Yeah, I think it's like what I just said. It's that the pay structure is... people talk about chasing overtime in this work. So to chase more, to get more pay, they have to chase overtime. There's a hotshot and a member of an elite crew of hotshots who spoke to me for the piece named Hannah Coolidge, who said that for a decade she hadn't attended a wedding or a funeral during fire season. Hmm.
But you point out that pay is not the only issue at play here, that wildland firefighters also have had to contend with an inattentive bureaucracy. And one example you give is the way the fire service has handled the issue of the link between firefighting and cancer. First of all, what do we know at this point about that link?
It is now acknowledged that firefighting as a profession, for both for structure and wildland firefighting, that there is a... That cancer is an occupational risk. But I think to get to your question about the inattentive bureaucracy, officials have raised questions about those potential linkages for a long time. The research to support that moves at the speed of scientific research, right, of creating peer-reviewed research. But one of the issues that came up in the reporting is that officials and people have been for a long time suggesting that the government conduct studies to examine these risks, and that didn't happen for a long time. So it's now being acknowledged, right? But there was perhaps opportunity to examine that evidence earlier.
Another issue that you looked at is on-the-job injuries, and you did that partly by telling the story of a smoke jumper from Oregon named Ben Elkind. Can you tell us, first of all, just about his injury?
Yeah, so Ben Elkind, he was a smoke jumper with the Forest Service who was injured and broke his pelvis in a training exercise, a smoke jumping training exercise, yeah.
Despite that injury, he did not file for workers' compensation. Why not?
It's long been understood that the workers' compensation structure in the federal government has historically not well served its federal wildland firefighters. This is something that's been reported on in the past. BuzzFeed did some good reporting on this. And as Ben put it to me in the piece, he ended up creating a GoFundMe, or so I should say that his colleagues started a GoFundMe campaign to raise funds for him following his injury. He referred to that as standard operating procedure. And, you know, I will also say that he's not the only wildland firefighter I spoke to in the course of reporting who has done that, who has created crowdfunding from other firefighters to support them following a really serious injury.
And following a really serious on-the-job injury.
Correct.
You noted that almost every wildland firefighter who agreed to use their full name and have it be, you know, printed in your article, that they have official roles with the union as opposed to being rank and file firefighters. Why do you think that is?
Well, they are also those people who talk to me are also boots on the ground firefighters.
Sorry, I meant to say, but as opposed to being to not having that, I guess that union protection.
Yeah, totally. And it's because there's a history of the Forest Service dissuading internal criticism. Multiple people, firefighters I talked to while reporting, expressed the fear of retribution for speaking candidly.
Given everything you've talked about, why does anybody seek this job out, or why does anybody stick with it?
Oh, well, I mean, it's because I think because they get to work outside, get to work on a team, get to get really close with the people they work with, you know, not chained to a desk, walking through the woods with a chainsaw, the physical intensity of it, the skills that they amass, you know, in our conversations, Ben often said, I like my job, but, or I love my job, but, and that was a refrain that I heard from other people as well. It's like the act of the work itself, there's something really beautiful in it. And then why is everything else so brutally hard?
Well, going back to Ben Elkind, the Oregon-based smoke jumper who injured his pelvis and did not file for workers' comp. What's he doing now? And what did you hear from him about how he's doing?
Yeah, well, he has since left smoke jumping. He's still working for the Forest Service, and he's working on a hand crew. That crew is out of state, is not in Oregon. So one of the issues that comes up in the piece is that it can be difficult historically for wildland firefighters to. One of the reasons that it's difficult to make ends meet and make a career increase, especially as the cost of living has increased, you know, astronomically in Western towns where a lot of wildland firefighters live in the last few years, is that it's hard to get pay raises. It's been historically hard to get pay raises without moving frequently, right? So Ben is going to be working on a hand crew out of state, yeah.
What did you hear about what hiring has been like for the upcoming fire season? What are fire managers dealing with when they sift through piles of resumes?
I think that the reporting in the piece shows that the returns have been really bad in this past year. The federal government has acknowledged this issue and has tried to take steps to address it. Federal wildland firefighters have a temporary pay raise right now. That was put into effect in 2021 with the bipartisan infrastructure law. Some union officials have said that has kept some people around, but it is a temporary pay raise. And in this last hiring period, the returns were, as one official involved in hiring for the Forest Service characterized the returns as abysmal. The numbers were quite bad. And that's an issue for everybody because, you know, these are people who are tasked with community service.
Abe Streep, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Abe Streep is a freelance reporter and author. He recently wrote about the decline of wildland firefighters for ProPublica. Tomorrow on the show, Oregon's landmark bottle bill, which offers cash refunds for empty cans and bottles, has led to some of the highest recycling rates in the nation. It was originally intended to discourage littering, but the refunds have increasingly become a lifeline for low-income Oregonians and people experiencing homelessness. Now, critics say the bill is fueling open-air drug markets outside return sites. We'll get several perspectives on the bottle bill tomorrow on the show. If you don't want to miss any of our shows, you can listen on the NPR app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. Our nightly rebroadcast is at 8 p.m. Thanks very much for tuning in to Think Out Loud on OPB and KLCC. I'm Dave Miller. We'll be back tomorrow.
Think Out Loud is supported by Steve and Jan Oliva, the Rose E. Tucker Charitable Trust, and Michael, Kristen, Andrew, and Anna Kern. We'll be right back.